Greetings, EastEnders fans, and welcome to another episode of Albert Square After Dark, your weekly EastEnders podcast. This week, discussing the episodes broadcast between the 23rd to the 26th of September 2024. Hello there, how are you? Are you well? Good? I hope so. Yes? Good? Marvellous. Hello, Ree, how are you this week?
I'm good, Rob. A little tired. How are you this week,
Nothing
Rob?
New there, then. I'm all right. Standard. So, everybody, this time next week... I don't know, you're not really supposed to, like, nobody ever tells people when the driving test is, but I just, like, that's not going to change the result. It's not going to change the result, is it? By this time next week, I will know, when we record, by this time next week, I'll know my driving test results, because I'll have done it a couple of hours before we start recording.
Driver by this time next week.
I sincerely doubt it.
License will be going from green to pink. As we speak, this time next week.
Rainbow coloured. I sincerely doubt it. I don't know. We just going to have to wait and see how it plays out. You know what I mean? It depends what happens. It depends
just
if I...
Faith. Just have faith.
But the thing is,
that's
though...
That's all we can have in life, Rob. Faith.
It's not me that's the problem. It's all the others on the road. If they weren't there, I'd be absolutely fine.
That is true. That is very true.
My instructor was telling me quite a lot of tests are failed because of somebody else's mistake that you've just reacted badly to. So it's like, if they hadn't done that mistake, they've just cost you like over like 80 quid or something for the cost of the exam. Like that's just, so if anyone does that to me, I will be slashing tires with car keys in the middle of the night under a balaclava.
When I was on a driving lesson once, somebody thought I were on a test and it was summer, all his windows were open, and he decided to stop right next to me and go, I hope you can fail. Screamed it through my car window, like stopped the car, and I thought, "Oh, I'm glad I'm not on a test because that would have really thrown me."
I would have thrown you off.
Anyway, I hope that didn't happen to you, Rob. Any actual test? What is wrong with people?
I know. There you go. Right, ladies and gents, this week's EastEnders was a pretty busy one.
Is it?
Yeah. Some Panasar Pandemonium kicked off this week. And we also had some news announced, which we shall be discussing at the end of the podcast. The Clenis era.
Rob. Yeah, sorry.
At an end. What?
I was going to say that you called. Sorry, I totally...
Oh, I did. I kind of said this last week, but it kind of just seemed obvious. Like, why wouldn't you go after the big... Like, you've done about 3 years. Why wouldn't you just make the big anniversary your swan song and then just sort of take your leave from there? So the Clenis era will be coming to an end next February. Obviously, we wish him all the best. And we shall be discussing the potential new era. The Wadey era approaches. So that's potentially exciting, if not slightly nerve-wracking. So we'll talk about that later on in the podcast. Right, for now, we have some other stories to discuss. First of all, we were beginning with Sonia and Reese and Bianca, who made her trophy return this week, who you're a huge fan of, so that's exciting. So let's crack on with this week's Albert Square After Dark. So let's begin this week. We're talking about Reese and Bianca and the fact that Debbie's funeral has arrived. And Reese is all a bit sort of skew-whiff and nervous about it, understandably, you know, because he's responsible for the body in the coffin. And he's sort of acting a little bit suspicious, but I think Martin is basically under orders just to look after him. He's spoken to Sonia and she said, just keep an eye on Reese, all right, because I don't trust him on his own. He's incapable. Make sure he's eating. Make sure you take him for walks and water him and all of that kind of thing.
And clean pints.
Clean out his cage, all that sort of thing. Just make sure he's all right, yeah? And so Martin, despite his own initial kind of suspicions, and I do think that Martin has a couple of moments this week where he's a little bit sort of like, that's weird, Reese, you know, sort of. So I think that it won't take much persuasion ultimately for Martin to sort of get on board with the whole...
I couldn't figure that out either, because the part of me at one point in the week were like, Martin knows, doesn't he? He's just playing him, like trying to be his best mate. But I actually don't think that is the case.
I think it's a bit of... There's a bit of the fact that he trusts Sonia's judgment, because I think there's a part of him that sort of thinks, well, she did go out with me, so she's clearly got excellent taste. So
true.
So I wonder if there's a bit of that involved. So for the moment, he's sort of just trusting Sonia's judgment and sort of being on Reese's side. So he says to Reese, okay, well, look, just don't worry. I'll drive you to the funeral, okay? You don't have to worry about getting there or anything like that, because Reese is all sat there having a nervous breakdown about underground timetables and everything. She's like, shut up, I'll just take you, it's fine. But just as they're about to leave, Brenda and Hugh arrive, and Brenda in typical Brenda fashion, bans him from the funeral. So you're not welcome. And sort of chucks the pamphlet at him and just leaves. So Reese isn't allowed to go to the funeral. So Martin arranges for the Vic to have just a little private little function so that Reese can remember Debbie. And he's quite touched by people in the square just sort of turning up and wanting to be there for him, which was a nice little community moment, I thought. I liked that.
Yeah.
It's nice.
It was. If only they knew the truth, Rob.
If only they knew the truth. And one person who has worked out the truth, she reckons, is Bianca, who strolls
Queen
in.
Queen Bee. I love her.
She strolls in and she basically starts causing a scene immediately the second that she walks in typical Bianca fashion.
Love it. Me for it.
And she's basically saying, like, I don't understand why is Sonia being held for something she doesn't do? Obviously, Sonia didn't do this. So she reckons that the only kind of logical solution for that is that Reese did it. And she's right. Yeah. And she basically spends the rest of the week trying to sort of coerce the information out of Reese. And she comes close a couple of times, but she keeps getting stopped and interrupted by Martin and Kat. And they're sort of like, well, to be fair, Bianca, you are suffering from depression. And that's sort of like the secondary part of Bianca's story this week. Because, in fairness, she is acting like a bit of a mess, isn't she? Because she tries to kiss Martin, who she's known for years.
Why
and years.
Did she do that?
Because he's basically
seriously.
Family. She was drunk. She's a bit silly. You know, a man was showing her a little bit of comfort. And I mean, the fact that she literally said, how did Sonia ever let you go? And then just immediately starts kissing him. It's like, for God's sake, Bianca, get a grip, love. Honestly.
But they did try and imply that she drank a bottle of vodka. So
a whole bottle,
She didn't seem that drunk to me when she tried to kiss him, but...
Sometimes it's difficult to tell with Bianca sometimes when she's sober and when she's drunk. She acts very similarly both times. Yeah. And so she decides that she needs to get the truth out of Reese, but she's kind of unsure how to do it. This depression is also sort of taking its toll on her. We kind of led to understand. Kat arranges for her to go to the doctors, but she doesn't go to that. So
how did Kat pull that one off? She's not even registered at that GP's and she's got her an appointment.
Well, you know, that's the joy of being Kat Slater. She probably just slashed a leg and just like, all right, doc.
She said I pulled some strings with Sonia's friend, I think, to be fair.
Yeah, exactly. They pull a lot of strings now, but Square, they're like puppet masters, just pulling strings left, right and centre. So she doesn't go to that. And so she decides to sort of take a different tact and says to Reese, you know what? I'm sorry. All right. I am very, very sorry. I'm just upset. As you know, I have depression, so that's clearly having an effect on my actions. And Reese sort of believes her. It's just like, yeah, it was quite upsetting, but, you know, yes, we are on the same side here. We both want Sonia out. Because I think what Reese is kind of thinking is just like, if there's a way for me to get Sonia out of prison and for the truth not to come out...
Yeah, without dropping myself in
it. That would be the ideal outcome. Mm. I don't know how he does that. I don't think there's actually a way of him doing that, because it's not like they've got anybody else to pin it on, you know?
Well, this is it, isn't it? Because... And as well, I think Bianca started, I don't know, at one point I thought, oh no, Bianca doesn't think it's Reese, when Teddy were telling her that he'd got a private investigator involved. Because I think even then Bianca were like, well, have I got this wrong then? Why would he be getting a private investigator involved? But now Bianca's changed tact and gone, keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Exactly.
So she's going to try and maybe keep an eye on the PI stuff as well. Maybe she's thinking, I want to be all over that, because what if he hides some information?
Yeah.
But yeah, Bianca is... I can't believe that everyone else can't see it, but Bianca can. It's strange, isn't it?
It's always the way, isn't it? It's always the way. I think people are sort of like, Sonia probably didn't do it, but then they also don't think that Reese will have done it.
Reese
so it's just, so it's just like, well, we're clueless, but you know, we've got your back, whatever happens, because we're a community around here. So we'll be on your side, you know, whatever happens. So Bianca like basically turns around to Reese, just like, right, cool. So we're friends again then. So I'll just move in with you. Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. Reese
is
horrible.
Right. I'm moving back in. I'll go and grab my bags.
Grab my bag. Cheers, mate. See you in a sec. See you in a bit, Roomie. So Reese is kind of quite horrified by that. So it comes a time where you begin to feel sorry for Reese. Can you imagine that? Trying to deal with all this and living with Bianca. Good God.
I think Bianca would be a hoot. Maybe not at the minute, but normally.
Not the hoot. Yeah, not perhaps not at the minute, especially if you're Reese and like you're trying to hide something from her. So I honestly don't think he's going to be able to keep this secret hidden for long. I don't know what his next move is. I don't think he knows what his next move is.
Or he's going to end up confessing it to Bianca, and then she'll have no proof, and then she'll just be going around the square saying, he told me, and they'll all be like, Okay, Bianca, have you been taking your meds that we know that you need
Well,
to
it
prescribe? Is
doesn't
that the
help.
route it's going down, all of this?
Yeah, I mean, probably. I mean, it really doesn't help that Bianca is acting increasingly unstable. Like, at one point, she is like going mad in the middle of a square screaming and like chucks a brick at Reese's window and all that
Oh,
kind of thing.
yeah,
So
the brick
she's,
didn't help matters,
yeah, no, it didn't help
yeah.
her case really, did it? So she's acting a little bit mad at the moment, as far as everyone else is concerned.
But it's frustrating though, because it ain't mad really. It's just like, will you listen to me? Because I know the truth. But yeah, I can see why other people are going to be like, okay, Bianca, let's sit down. And so I think, I don't know, I had one of my wild theories to you,
Oh
didn't I,
God.
earlier this
Yeah,
week, Rob?
she's
Do you
been riffing
remember?
again, ladies and
I've been
gentlemen.
riffing.
She has been
Now I don't think
riffing.
that's going to happen, but
What
I
was your
did say
riffery?
my riff this week was
Reese riff this
that
week.
Reese is going to kill Bianca but make it look like suicide. But I
I
don't
mean,
think that now. Or he might attempt to do it at
that's
least.
probably
But
closer to the
no.
truth. That I
Yeah.
can that's potentially a possibility that he might attempt it and people just assume that she tried to top herself. That's
Yeah.
possible, and it kind of makes Bianca look increasingly more unstable. There is that possibility. I do struggle with the notion that Reese would be that kind of dark and evil, but then I guess if like where else does this story
But if
go,
they're going to be
really?
living together and stuff, he's got a bit more time to plot things, hasn't he? Because Bianca might be keeping her enemy closer, but so will Reese as well. So he's going to have more time and he might start learning things about Bianca and be able to manipulate the situation in his favour more when they're living together.
It might be time for us to sort of just stop trying to think of Reese as like a good guy, and we just
Saint
sort
Reese.
of,
Oh, he's
I
lovely,
know,
Rob. He
we're the
just
only
killed his
one.
wife. It's
I
all
feel like we're the
right.
only ones that have really been banging this drum
Ever.
for as long as we have.
God, we'd have no hope on Albert Square, would we?
Honestly,
We'd
we
be like,
wouldn't. We'd
he's
be the first
lovely, that Reese.
victims.
Don't you speak ill of him.
We'd
Well,
be you and Bianca would
rest
have
of
a
Square
massive
like
stand-up row in the Vic,
that.
wouldn't you? You'd be defending him. Glasses would be thrown. I'd be taking Reese back to it. Like, chill out, Reese. Come on, it's all right, mate. It's all right. It's right. Like, yeah, you talk to me about trains. That's okay. It
Oh,
wouldn't be
dear.
good. It wouldn't be good.
But the other thing with the Bianca depression thing, because it doesn't feel like they're doing that as a separate issue, if you know what I mean.
You
It
reckon it's
feels like
connected
it's
and
part of the
like,
storyline. So it could be a case of, like you kind of said, oh, look, Bianca, she's unstable, look at her. So all these things that she's saying, it's just part of her illness. So she's not going to be believed at all.
Because depressed people are
And
always
she.
accused of always accusing people of murder, aren't they? It's like one of the top things on the NHS website.
Well, no, because if they go down the psychosis route, so maybe they might try and imply, or Reese will try and say, oh, you know what? I've been living with her and I've been seeing these signs of delusions, you know, and I think that she is there. Is it going to go down that route with Bianca and he's going to somehow get sectioned or something? I don't know.
Maybe. We'll have to
Instead of
wait and
the
see.
trying to make it look like she's committed suicide, maybe
Yeah.
it'll be the other way that they
Take it
go
down a
with.
notch and we might be where the
Yeah,
plot actually goes. You never
but
know. You never know. You
you
don't
don't know
know.
with this
Anything's
Reese
possible.
stuff, Rob.
No, you don't.
Come
This is the
on.
thing with Reese. Like, one thing about Reese is that we've never had any idea of like where the plot is going.
No.
So it sort of kind of makes you think maybe he will do that. I don't know. I just feel somewhat weirdly defensive of him because he was such a
Oh, I'm not
funny.
now. I'm over it now,
Oh, you're
Rob.
over it now. I know, but
Yeah.
it's just that I was so sort of defensive of him, and because he was making me laugh as a character, and he was just, and I quite liked a sort of nervous, sort of kind of weird, kind
I
of
liked
quirky
that, and then
vibe.
they did all this, and it's
Yeah, and
like,
then he killed
right.
his wife, so it was a bit like. But
Well.
the weird thing is, though, it's there's no way of me saying this without
You're
sound.
justifying him killing his wife, aren't you,
Well,
Rob?
I just understand why he did it. Do you know what I mean? I kind of get it. Like, it's not like this is a grey type situation. Like, you could
Yeah.
understand his train of thought that led him to doing that, is what I mean. So,
It was out of desperation. It weren't
yes.
out of malice per se.
I'm not saying I'm
But
like,
then the
yeah, fair
fact
play,
that he's
Reese. Why didn't you
then,
do it sooner?
yeah, but
I'm
then the
just.
fact that he's then allowing Sonia to go potentially go down for it while she's pregnant was
Yeah,
just twisted. That's
that's a
where
bad thing. Yeah.
The line got crossed. Not him
Yes.
killing his wife.
No, but screw that.
We know
Anyone
why he
could
did that.
have done that, but it's letting Sonya go to prison while she's pregnant. You need taking down, young sir. So I don't know. We'll see where the restory goes. The week basically ends with Bianca and Kat having this conversation. The Bianca
Oh,
and Kat
yeah.
friendship is nice, by the way. That's kind of
I
keeping
love it.
going in the
Yeah, I like
background.
that.
That's lovely. And the week basically ends with Bianca saying to Kat, "Oh, you think that I'm moving in because I want to be his friend? Mwahahahahahaha. No, I have plans." So she's basically going to do whatever it takes to prove Sonya's innocence and to prove Reese's guilt. So,
and meanwhile, Kat's still thinking, "What are you doing, Bianca?"
Kat's just basically trying to get to a doctor. Yeah. So this is the problem. What we're going to be sort of be, I think Kat's role in this is basically to be Bianca's best mate, isn't it? So if even Bianca's best mate is basically saying that you need help, love, then it's again putting Bianca's claims in disrepute, isn't it?
It doesn't bode well for her, does it?
It doesn't. No. So
the only thing I would have liked to have seen this week would have been, or at some point, a crossover of Brenda and Bianca. Because now
how she reacts to Bianca in general, yeah.
Brenda's been saying that now that Sonya's been arrested, that she believes it's Sonya. But if Bianca got in Brenda's ear and
I wouldn't take much.
No, it's Reese. I think that she'd fully turn.
It wouldn't take much. I agree. And actually, I would love to see Bianca and Brenda share a scene, because just to see Brenda's reaction to Bianca as a person, full stop, I think that'd be quite amusing. Bring that on.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Right, we'll see where the Reese and Bianca stuff goes next week. But it seems that Bianca's around for a little bit longer, which is always good news for you, isn't it? Because you're a big fan of Bianca. What I've noticed with the cleanse era Bianca is that he's turned her up to 11. You know what I mean? Like, this is the most extreme Bianca we've seen since she was around full time. So she's sort of been brought back kicking and screaming, literally. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll see what goes on. It's exciting. Right, ladies and gents, next story. Right, on to Teddy, Harry and Jack now. There was moments in this storyline where I didn't understand what was going on, okay? Because cars are not my thing, all right? Put it like this.
Next week, Rob.
Well, there will be after that, because also when I pass my test, all of a sudden it instantly downloads all knowledge about cars into my head, doesn't it? When I was doing my lessons, first of all, I had people asking me, "Oh, what car are you driving for your lessons?" And I was like, "A red one. I don't know what kind of car it is." You know what I mean? So stuff went on in this week's with this whole car stuff that I didn't really understand, I have to say. So if you can translate it at any point, that might be helpful.
We'll see if we can figure it out between
Rob. So Teddy is basically annoyed that Harry hasn't got a job, because Harry is literally spending his time it seems to me to be just sat outside the calf, sort of with sunglasses on, staring up at the sky, sort of cloud watching, and being all chill and be like, "Yeah, man, the situation will sort itself out when it feels like it. It's all good, man." Yeah. Teddy's like, "No, screw that." So basically talks to Phil, of all people, because him and Harry are great mates, and says to Phil, "Right, well, he is family, he is blood, all right, so if you could just sort him, he's a good mechanic and you need a mechanic because your boy's inside, so you haven't got him anymore, so if you could sort him out some shifts here, that'd be great, cheers, because obviously you need a mechanic and he's still a Mitchell, so that all sort of plays him out. And Phil, for understandable reasons, sort of like, "Really? Is this a good idea? I think not." But Sharon manages to persuade him otherwise. So the Teddy and Sharon thing is sort of continuing, because Sharon this week seems to be following Teddy around everywhere. Did you notice?
Like a lost puppy. Yeah, yeah. I noticed that. Oh, like, why has Sharon just turned up at Archer's with Teddy? Why is she just there?
Just there with Teddy all week.
Keep up with Albert after not seeing him when she's in prison for a week.
No, screw that. Leave really that. Leave him with Martin. That's absolutely fine. She's much happier getting pissed with Teddy and just sort of loving life. She's got a new bald Mitchell to follow around. Why wouldn't she? It's Sharon. True. You know?
Yeah.
Doing her thing. So basically, Sharon manages to persuade Phil to sort of give Harry a trial. So what happens is that they go to the Archers and he's apparently supposed to be working on this car overnight. So Phil's been given a car that he needs sorting for a customer the next day. And he tells Harry, "Right, well, if you're that good a mechanic, sort that car out, back in a few hours, get that ready for the morning, cheers." So he leaves Harry alone in the Archers, and Harry is sort of just sizing up the place and sort of looking at all the tools at his disposal, and then rings this mate of his and says, "Right, yeah, I've got us a place, let's do this, cool." Meanwhile, pause that, because he is sort of still seeing Penny. And Jack isn't too thrilled about this. Jack and Harry have a bit of a confrontation in the pub. And Jack calls Harry a loser to his face. Teddy overhears this. So Teddy overhears this. And though I was proper team Teddy this week, when he turned up at Jack's door, and he does this whole sort of killing. Teddy's very good at killing people with kindness, I think. Like, he's got this sort of kind of killer vibe, but with a great big smile on his face, sort of thing, hasn't he? There's a sinister undertone to it, but and you wouldn't want to mess with him, but he's also very, very charming with it.
I'll be nice to you until you really piss me off, and then I'll gouge your eyes out.
Yeah,
I'm telling
pretty
you,
much.
That's his thing.
Yeah. You still don't trust Teddy then. That's some sort of thing. You don't trust him.
No, do you know what? I don't like the geezer. I don't like the geezer. I don't trust him as far as I could throw him. There's something off about him, I'm telling you.
See,
he's so keeping up appearances. I was glad to see him without the stupid jumper on his shoulders this week, I must admit.
People have massively kicked off about this jumper. I really don't get what the
it's
issue
really
is.
It's really annoying.
Why?
It's just annoying. Do you know what, Rob? I have an issue with people who wear jackets over the shoulders and don't put their arms in the sleeves.
It's a
that
fashion
annoys
choice.
Me.
Let people
and,
be who they want to be,
stupid,
Ray.
And it's not even comfortable. Like, why?
For you,
Just put your jacket on or
it's clearly
put your
comfortable for
jumper
him.
on or don't have a jumper.
It's clearly
One or
comfortable
the
for him,
other.
otherwise he wouldn't wear it on his shoulders like that, you know? You can't
Oh,
put
well,
yourself
I
in the...
guess what people want to do in their own home and all
Exactly.
that's up to them.
Exactly, Ray. You can't. Well, anyway.
Anyway.
I see, the thing is, though, I'm kind of quite intrigued by him as a character, because I'm sort of like, he seems to be the sort of person that anyone, anything could come for, you know, like a number of different, they could take Teddy in a number of different like situations, and it would feel, it wouldn't feel weird. So they could take him down a dark path, they could take him down a good guy path. Honestly, I don't see kind of bad guy vibes from him. I feel like you wouldn't want to mess
What?
with him. No, I don't. I feel like you wouldn't want to mess with him. But he's a good guy to have on your side, like any Mitchell. You know what I mean?
Well,
Like,
he's
he's
a
like,
good guy to have on your side, but if you get on the wrong side of him, I
yeah,
think
but
you'd
then,
be really
yeah, but
getting on the
then
bad side.
that's like any Mitchell, surely, right?
I think, yeah, but look at Phil.
Yeah.
Phil doesn't try and make a big show like Teddy did, doing this big fundraiser just to keep up appearances to everyone and win
No, he
everyone
doesn't.
over.
But
He
then,
manipulates situations where he
yeah,
could
he
actually just
does.
be trying to make it out like he's doing something good when actually he's just trying to manipulate everyone around him. I think that's the Phil
Yeah.
wouldn't do something like that. Phil couldn't care less if people like him or
No, I
not.
know, that's very true. But then I think that Teddy is much more psychological than Phil is. You know,
True. Yeah,
Phil
true.
isn't, with all the best will in the world, Phil isn't bright enough, I think, to do those sort of weird psychological sort of games with people. Like, Phil just talks to his fist. That's just Phil, and what you get, what you see is what you
This
get with
is what you
Phil.
get.
But with Teddy, I think that he, I think as long as people see him in the way that he wants to be seen, I think that he's all, I think, I don't know. I don't know. It's weird. I'm very, very intrigued by Teddy and seeing where they're going to take him. But I
Where's all
don't
the money
think,
coming from, Rob?
yeah,
Come
I know
on.
all this. But then the thing is, because he's a Mitchell, I don't automatically see him as a villain, because I'm just used to Mitchells having a bit of a sort of dark undercurrent to them. Like, they've always got fingers in pies. They've always got someone they can call to like get rid of someone if they want to. It's just a Mitchell thing. Like, I don't see what's so dislikable about Teddy that isn't really dislikable
He
about
just
Ben or Phil or Grant. You know what I mean? Like, it's.
because he's disingenuine though, like you say, what you see with Phil is what you get, or
So
what you get with Phil is what you see, other
you'd
way
much
around.
rather people just be honest about the fact that they're a bastard, basically. That's more,
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah,
actually,
fair. All
yeah,
right, then.
because
Fair enough.
but having said all this, I do see that he's genuine with Barney. And he's
Yeah.
got that soft side that he has with Barney seems genuine, but all the rest, it's just too game playing. It's like, is that genuine or is that not?
See, the thing is, though, I didn't see the things. I know what you mean, but I think the thing is that because we kind of figure that's what he's doing, he's being open enough with the audience for us to like. I do. It's weird. I just don't see him as a really, really bad person yet. I just don't. I feel like there's a
But I
dark
think,
undercurrent to him that if you messed with him, we'd see, like, don't
yeah.
mess with Teddy. But I feel like everything that he does to be nice to people isn't necessarily. I think there's a side of him that's quite, maybe not 100%, but I feel like there's a side of him that's quite genuine with it. Like the whole
Yeah.
fundraiser thing, I think he was quite pleased that he made people happy in that regard.
I
Do you know what I
think a
mean?
lot of it was
Like,
just trying to make
it
Harry look
worked
good,
for him.
though.
Yeah, 100%. I don't denying any of that, but I also feel like there is 70% I want to, you know, people to see us as good people, because we're going to be moving on to the square and I want people to be on our side. But also, I think there was a 30% side of him was just like, yep, that's really worked for people. I've
I've
done something
cheered
good here.
people up as well at the
Yeah.
same time, so
Yeah.
win-win.
Yeah.
I think we just need to know what it is about him because
Yeah.
there's that
We need to know what they're running. We need to know what he's running away from, because they've run away from something to move to Walford, haven't they? So we need to know what exactly is going on.
Are they running away because, like, is he Robin Hood? Is he stolen from the rich to help
I'd
the poor
that.
Kind of situation?
Yeah, I'd love
is that what
yeah.
it is? So actually, he's not bad. He
I
tries to use
that.
His badness for good.
Yeah.
Or
I
is
would
he?
Love that.
Or is
yeah.
it something dodgy? That's what we need to know. Once we know that, we can properly make our
I
mind
think
up.
It'll be... It's going to be something dodgy either way, but I think...
Yeah,
it's
but
really
is it a good dodgy or a bad dodgy?
It's really weird. For me, I think giving him the name Mitchell sort of gives him an automatic sort of, like, pass almost. It's like, yeah, you're a Mitchell. Of course it's going to be dodgy. But it's like whether you're likeable with your dodginess or not is the problem. And I think that, for me, he comes across as quite likeable. But there may be, like we said with the Reece situation, where me and you were sat there having a massive row... When we're sat there having a massive row with Bianca in the Vic, me and you were in the Vic having a massive row about Teddy, and I'm sort of like, Teddy's on my side, Reed, get like, I'm chucking a drink in your face and all that kind of thing. That's what's happened, isn't it? So we shall see what happens. So basically, Jack, complete tangent there. Jack isn't happy about Harry and Penny spending time together, and he overhears this kind of meeting going on between Harry and this dodgy mate of his. So Jeremy Powell.
Very
can I just
well
say,
known.
Yeah, can I just say, there is not a single young gangster in the world called Jeremy. That isn't a thing.
I didn't even think about that.
There's no wonder he has to call himself Jez. He's sort of like, oh, going into the gangster world now, I can't be known as Jeremy. That's impossible. That can't work out. Jez, that sounds hard. Yeah, that sounds tough. I'll go for Jezza. The only people that know him as Jeremy are the police and his mother. That's it.
Yeah, probably.
And his dentist. That's about it. So Jack arranges for the police to turn up at the Archers. And this is where I was confused about what was going on. So please translate, what exactly was this job that they were doing? Because they were talking about a flash car and parts.
So,
they'd
stolen a car and they were trying
right.
to make it not as distinguishable as it obviously was before. So I don't know if
why?
You have, like,
so,
parts
but
on
what,
cars
so,
and stuff.
Oh, right, so what? They've stolen this car. But then why would they steal it? They're going to put other cars or parts on it, because surely then it loses its value, doesn't it? Or it isn't as good a car as it was, so what was the point of stealing it?
I don't know, Rob, I'm not very cars either, to be honest with you.
But I don't know what they were doing. Something dodgy with a car. Something illegal that nobody wants to get caught out doing, essentially.
They're basically trying to disguise the original car from what it was, so they can sell it on.
But I don't understand
why
they would
do that.
Why they do that, or how selling the car off when it's got different parts attached to it that weren't its own parts is going to help sell it.
Well, presumably it'd be parts from the same car, but like from the same brand. Maybe like cars that have been write-offs, though.
Yeah,
and then
I don't know.
You save some of the parts for them, and they've got older them. I don't know.
They did try and explain all this during the scenes, and it just went over my head completely.
It was something dodgy.
Yeah,
to do
that's
with
all we need to know.
Cars
something
and
dodgy.
Doing them up. Yeah.
Exactly. Something dodgy. So Jack turns up at the Archers, flanked by these two officers. Phil's there as well, because Jack always takes quite great pleasure in sort of winding Phil up when he can. So he goes, oh, yeah, and I'm getting a warrant, and I'm searching your premises, because I think something dodgy is going on there. La, 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 la. So they're there, and this car is basically under this massive, like, cover. And Jack's like sat there like a game show host, waiting to reveal this prize that's underneath the cover. Pulled it off, and there's just an old car sat there. It's the car
that should have been fixing.
The one that he should have been fixing. Yeah. Again, this is where I was just so confused. I was like, "What is going on? I don't understand any of this." And then it turns out that Teddy worked out what was going on and switched the two cars around. So Jack had nothing to prove. Jack had nothing to arrest him for, and all is well with Harry. Phil kind of works out what's going on. But Teddy basically persuades him, just let him finish his shifts. He will do it for free. He will get these cars sorted, and he will show you what a good mechanic he is. Just give him a chance, all right? We're Mitchells, all right? We've all done dodgy stuff. There's no point you getting all sanctimonious about it, Philip. You know, this is you we're talking to. So, and let's be honest, plenty of dodgy stuff has gone on in the Archers over the years.
I know, but even Phil has a limit. Like, it's your first shift and I've got police coming around with a warrant. Are you mad? Happy same. So,
yeah.
Said he's definitely a smooth talker, to be fair, after that. Yeah. But he still gave him a chance.
I thought it was interesting as well that Penny was the one that sort of alerted Harry to the fact that the police were on their way, because she overheard Jack talking on the phone. So that's kind of creating a bit more of a rift between Penny and Jack as well, as if that needed to happen.
Well, I couldn't quite remember how Jack and Penny had left things after the crush, because I thought he didn't even like Penny. So why is he trying to get involved in a love life?
So, to be honest,
hates the Mitchells that much.
I think, I'm assuming what's happened is the fact that Amy is now sort of back at home and sort of all, she's in a bit of a wheelchair, but she'll be okay. So I think that, you know, now people are out of hospital, Jack sort of mellowed a little bit, but they're still not in a great place. Otherwise, this wouldn't be happening. I don't think they'd be able to have a slightly more honest conversation with one another, because Penny took great pleasure in sort of going behind Jack's back like that, didn't she? She wouldn't have done it otherwise.
Penny's dodgy though, isn't she? Look at how she came into Albert Square. Yeah. So kind of fair enough. Plus, do you know what? Even I wanted them all to get away with it, with how smug and sanctimonious Jack would be.
Wasn't he
about
just?
It all this week.
Wasn't
so I don't
he just?
Blame Penny for being like,
no.
Piss off, Dad.
Yeah, exactly. Come on. Exactly. So, like we say, in the meantime, this fundraiser goes on. Teddy arranges for this fundraiser for Sonia to go on. And this is basically a great success. Like, the square is all holding Harry in high regard. They're holding Teddy in high regard. Now, there is a moment of conversation between Bianca and Teddy. And then another conversation later where there's possibly a bit of a link and a bit of a clue to a returning character, because they're talking about, Teddy and Bianca are talking about kind of flash cars, and Bianca mentions
classic
that
cars.
Bianca mentions that her dad is kind of quite into all these cars. And then there is a classic car at the event, and it is mentioned that Teddy's mate Dave was the one that sorted it for them. Yes. Who's Dave? Who could it be?
It's got to be, hasn't it?
It's got to be. Yeah. I can imagine. To be honest with you,
yeah.
If what we get from Teddy at the moment is kind of how he is with everybody, I can see David and Teddy getting on quite well, to be honest. Can't
I
you?
Can actually. Yeah, definitely. And I can see him being a bit dodgy with the cars together as well.
Because David's not exactly an angel, is he? So.
No. Yeah,
that would be an interesting pairing, actually. I'd be intrigued to sort of see that. So, yeah, bring that on. And so that's basically it for this story. So it's sort of Teddy and Harry have sort of saved themselves. I think Phil is a little bit sort of suspicious about it, but there's not a huge amount that he can do. Sharon and Teddy, I think that's going to happen at some point in the future as well.
How's Phil
going to
take that when Sharon and Teddy eventually...
Not well, would be my guess. I wonder if eventually we're going to come back to this whole Phil being lonely stuff, because we haven't seen this for months now. They sort of
rear its head when Sharon inevitably gets with Teddy, then, because Phil did try and kiss Sharon not long ago, didn't he?
We'll sort of see how that goes. There is one little section of this storyline that linked into our next story, which was another time where Harry was able to make himself look like the hero. They were in the Vic, and this young thug caught eye of Kathy's handbag, sort of just sitting on the table, grabbed it. Harry chases him out of the pub and gets the handbag back. During the process, Kathy has a stool flicked at her ankle and is injured. And Harvey steps in and is kind of the hero of the situation. And the Kathy and Harvey situation is what we shall be discussing next. So, yes, Harvey and Kathy. So, it is an affair on the horizon here, Ree, do we think? I think it might be heading in that direction.
It looks like it. Hey, we said that Harvey weren't the affair at all.
Didn't we?
It came to Maya.
Again, shows what we know. We're sat there in the
We don't know anything. Doing a podcast for?
I know. We're sat there defending Harvey, having an argument with Kat, saying, what are you on about, Kat? He's fine. But no, we sort of suspect this might be where it's going.
Well, is it an affair, though? Because for me, it looks a bit one-sided at the minute. Like, it's Kathy who's starting.
Oh, you think?
Yeah, it looks a bit like Kathy's more interested in Harvey. I don't think Harvey's seeing it that way.
Well, lest we forget, Drew, that this isn't exactly Kathy's first rodeo. And Kathy remains one of the only people in the entirety of soap opera history to get away with an affair without it ever being revealed, remember, with her and Buster. So is this a way for Kathy to ultimately get that affair reveal drama that she didn't get with Buster, and it's going to sort of go in that direction for it?
Could be, possibly. I thought that Harvey and Kathy were long on that, because they did. They did go out at one point, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah,
and that's just kind of not even been mentioned either, that they're exes.
Yeah, I'd forgotten about that.
I was gonna say, oh, they can't do that. Rocky's his best mate and he's still her husband, but when does that stop anyone, Albert
Yeah,
Square? Let's be
and it didn't really
honest.
amount to anything in the end, did it? But yeah, they seem to be getting a little bit closer. So basically, after the handbag is nicked and Kathy gets kind of mildly injured, Harvey basically steps in and tries to help Kathy out, and sort of just her cashing up for her because, you know, and Kat is sort of
Thought that were a
watching.
bit bizarre, but
Yeah,
okay.
and Kat is sort of like watching this from a distance, is sort of like, oh yeah, you too, yeah. Do I need to be worried about you
Helping
and
Anna,
Kathy
yeah.
helping another woman? Are we again and keeping it from Jean? Are we, Harvey? And Harvey's like, no, absolutely not. No, what are you on about, Kat? And Kathy's like, no, what are you on about, Kat? No. But in the air is sort of, not quite
I felt
sure.
like the lingering looks came from Kathy
Yeah.
more than Harvey, though.
Yeah, maybe. To
But
be honest with you,
then,
I don't think it would even have occurred to Harvey that another
no.
woman might be interested in him until it's literally put on a
And
plate in front of him.
he's not an adulterer, Rob. Anyway, it's never going to happen. What are you on about?
We'll have to wait and see there. I mean,
So Maya's
weird.
gone as well, by the
Yeah,
way,
I
it
know.
looks
That
like.
seems to sort of fizzle out. I was expecting Maya to sort of like be away somewhere biding her time, but it seems that she is actually just gone. I think that seems to be the end of it, and that really the whole point of it was to sort of just bring a bit of a rift between Jean and Harvey, and
Jean
then that
and
was
Harvey,
basically it.
yeah.
So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see there. But Kathy and Harvey, weirdly, I think they're kind of reasonably quite suited together, really. I think Harvey is sort of one of those sort of almost quite simplistic blokes that Kathy seems to kind of quite bounce off quite well off, you know? So.
I think they're well suited, but like you've mentioned before, I think Harvey sits well in the Slater household
Yeah,
as
he
a bit
really
of a
does. A
Charlie
Charlie type
kind of
character.
char yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd be kind of sad to see Harvey not in the Slater house because I
Yeah.
think he fits in there really well. And
Yeah.
they need that kind of older figure
Yeah.
as well there, I
Yeah.
feel. Like
A
older
sort of
male figure.
a sort of moment of sanity amongst the madness of the
Yeah, the
Slaters.
chill
Yeah, yeah,
guy.
yeah.
Yeah. And obviously he's a cab driver.
Yeah.
But what would he do with Kathy really like? But then again, Kathy's not got much going on really at the minute, other than that she
No.
hates Cindy.
Yeah.
Bobby's gone.
Yeah.
So
So it's giving
I don't
Kathy
know,
something to
watch.
do,
Yeah,
but
watch this space with it, I think. But I'll be disappointed if it turns into an affair. But I think it is going to go that way, isn't
I
it?
think ultimately it is going to turn to a fair, because otherwise, what was the point in any of that this week? So it is definitely going to turn into something, but whether it goes down the more predictable route remains to be seen. Right, ladies and gents, final story of the week, and it is the Panasars. So the biggest storyline of the week this week was the Panasars. Everything that this lot have been keeping secret from one another is now out. Okay, the fact that Suki and Vinny were trying to wheedle all Nish's business and money out of him, that is out. The fact that Nish knows about it, that is out. And it all kind of comes to a massive climax this week, sort of. There is still obviously one last big chapter of this to play out. Basically, obviously, last week, we realized that Nish was kind of trying to punish Vinny for all his. But what he sees as crimes against him. And he arranges for Vinny to be picked up and taken to a sort of undisclosed location where he's going to buy another property. He gets given this money and is taken to this place, is going to be taken to this place so he can buy this property. The
With
idea behind,
cash.
yes, with cash, with 130 grand in cash, which never looks suspicious when you're carrying that around.
No, not at all.
And the idea apparently is for this place to be sort of the new place where they're doing the money laundering and the police won't be suspicious of it and everything will be absolutely fine and Vinny's hands will remain absolutely clean. Obviously, that's not what Nish's plan is because his plan is he rings the police and tells them that Vinny is going to be at this location, that he's basically the mastermind behind it all. And he's going to get arrested and then taken away. And what we ultimately learn is that the plan is for him to go in the same fate as Jags. Because basically, Vinny is, in Nish's mind, about as weak as Jags was, so he would definitely be killed in prison. I mean, it seems like a bit of a convoluted murder plot. I'd have thought it was easy to just whack him with a melon ball or like he does later on in the week. But, you know, Nish never does things by halves. He's like something out of the Perils of Penelope Pitstop, is Nish.
Yeah,
Like
but
he.
it's two for the price of one, isn't it? Because they're already got the police on the back with the chicken shops anyway,
Yeah.
so why not get that sorted as well at the same time? Two for
Yeah.
one, isn't it, Rob? Come on. Loves a
Absolutely.
bargain.
Suki sort of works out that something dodgy is going on here. So she meets up with Harty, who we met last week, and basically says to him, look, parent to parent, what is going on here? Okay, and sort of does her Suki thing where she manipulates the truth out of him. Now, the problem is that Ravi sees this meeting. And Ravi is basically the only one that is sort of, well, apart from the kids, that is basically on Nishi's side at the moment and who sort of knows everything that's going on. So Vinny, in a rare moment of clarity, realizes this doesn't feel quite right, goes to...
Takes him long enough, doesn't it?
I don't know, tell me about it. Bless him. He goes to where they're supposed to be meeting on his own, away from, like, he doesn't get picked up. He goes there on his own. Ditches the driver. And sees all these police swarming everywhere and realizes what Nishi's plan ultimately was. He returns to the Panasar house, tells Suki what he's seen, and they sort of work out that not only does Nish know what they were planning, but he was clearly planning on sending Vinny to prison, and that the punishment ultimately was going to be Vinny dying in prison. Suki's got it all worked out. Now, the problem is that Vinny has this 130 grand in cash just sort of there. So they're like, right, well, run. You go, all right? So we'll call you a taxi and you'll run away and everything will be absolutely fine. We'll deal with the fallout and you'll be safe, okay? So Vinny's like, cool, so.
Fingers crossed and then wherever.
Vinny's quite happy. He can hear Julia's thing tinkling in his brain already. He's like, this is my exit. That's absolutely fine. He can see himself on the plane looking down at Walford as he goes along, you know, just doing the classic end credit scene. He doesn't get that, unfortunately, though. Because Ravi relays what he's seen to Nish, and Nish works everything out. Storms around the Panasar house. Now, they've called Vinny a taxi at this point.
Yeah.
You're a taxi. And basically, they have called... There was a big, like, what was it? The website of Cat's Cabs was on the laptop.
No, he saw a text on the phone, weren't it?
Oh, yeah, it was something like he saw something that made him realise that Vinny was planning on taxiing away.
Yeah.
It worked out that Vinny's hiding from him, because Vinny's way of hiding from Nish was literally to hide behind the living room door. Nish could probably see his shadow there or something.
No, you were in plain sight there. What else were they supposed to do, to be fair? I think that would kind of I'd a have smart move.
Well, I'd have got upstairs for a start. I'd done a wardrobe under the bed.
Yeah, but for all they knew, we were going to start marching around house trying to look for him. So you're why not
you're much,
just...
You're much safer behind the living room door, Vinny.
In plain sight, definitely.
Well, if you're ever hiding from me, that's the first place I'll look.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You know where I'll be now.
I know where you'll be, just behind a curtain. Your feet sticking out the bar. You'll never
sticking
see
out in plain
he'll
sight.
He'll never see me here. So Nish cancels the taxi and then picks Vinny up. Now, I know what you're going to ask here. I know exactly what you're going to ask here. Where did Nish get a taxi from?
I would not have thought of that. To be honest, I was just like, it's Nish, he can do what he wants. I'm sure he can acquire a taxi with no problem. Yeah. To be honest. Yeah. I didn't even question it, actually.
Oh, fair enough. It does. Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I thought you'd be riffing away. It does result in a fantastic duff duff on Monday, which I thought was such an amazing shot. Did you predict that it was going to be Nish behind the wheel before it was revealed?
Well, when they started driving away, I was like, oh, well, obviously it's something dodgy. I didn't think it was going to be Nish himself, though. I thought maybe he would have got somebody to do it and drive him to somewhere where Nish was. I didn't think it'd be actually Nish, no.
No, I did sort of work it out before it was revealed. I was sort of like, I bet that's Nish behind the wheel. But it didn't take away from the effectiveness, I thought, of that final shot of Monday's episode where it sort of pans across to the driver. Vinny sort of sat there, sort of kind of breathing with relief in the back of the car. And then it sort of pans across and Nishi's face, because it's at nighttime, Nishi's face is just revealed by a passing street lamp as they're passing. It was really effective, that moment. I thought, I like that a lot. Great shot. So, I mean, I wasn't sure where it was going to go from that point. I was sort of like, so is he just going to drive away with Vinny now and then we're not going to see Vinny for a while, and ultimately it'll transpire to Suki that Nish is tied up somewhere in a warehouse or something like that. I didn't know where it was going to go.
That's what I was thinking, warehouse, actually. That was straight away where my brain went. And also because Nish is so weak physically himself, I didn't know what was going to happen. So I'm like, where are they going to go with this, and is he going to get people involved?
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to have many cronies, does he, Nish?
No, he's not.
He's sons for everything.
Yeah. He finds a bit of strength within himself, though, because ultimately he reveals it in the next episode. They're driving along and he reveals himself to Vinny, and then he takes him to the restaurant, which I thought was a bit of a dumb move, because like, you could have gone anywhere. You've got a taxi, you've got a car, could have taken him absolutely anywhere. You'd have been better off taking him to a warehouse than going to the restaurant where your other son works.
But that is true, but he did know that it were empty that night, luckily.
Yeah, and there's a melon baller there that I can whack him with as well.
What's a melon baller?
You ball melons with it.
Is that what it was? I thought it were.
I think it was a melon ball.
I'm
looking at it like
a coffee filter thing.
Oh, it might have been.
Coffee machine. That's what.
Oh, that might have been it actually. Yeah, you might. It was one of those implements. I was sort of like, what is that? I'm sort of staring at it. I thought it was a melon ball.
A coffee machine.
You might be right actually, because they're a bit chunkier than melon ballers, aren't they? Yeah. Anyway, so they end up having this at the restaurant, and the big old confrontation occurs. And I thought, actually, Vinny's best episodes this week that he's had for a long time. I thought I was really impressed with Vinny this week, because Vinny is terrified, rightly, because Nish is clearly planning to kill him. Like, he's sat there playing with knives, doing the whole sort of evil villain monologue stuff. It feels like this is in the run-up to Vinny's final moments.
It does.
Suki, meanwhile, kind of happens to see Kat, and it's sort of like, did he get to the airport okay? She's like, well, I don't know, you cancelled the taxi. And then the wheels of motion start to turn in Suki's head. She runs straight to Ravi, and sort of, poor Ravi just gets accused of everything this week, and he keeps walking in, just
I
like,
mean,
stop
fair,
trying
though,
to kill
Ravi
one
did...
another.
Yeah, but Ravi was the one who nearly killed Eve in the week,
yeah,
so
I know,
it's
so,
kind of
yeah.
A fair assumption.
Yeah. But I thought Ravi's point of view was quite interesting this week.
I did as well,
We'll talk about that in a second. Basically, they work out where they're likely to be. Nish is
Where could they be? That he's got access to.
That's easy to get to. Where could they be? So they go to the restaurant. Just as the Vinny and Nish argument is sort of escalating and reaching its peak, they're basically battling with a knife, and it's all going quite intense and crazy. And Ravi basically comes in, manages to break them up, and Vinny is kind of on the ground, basically nearly unconscious because he's been whacked with this weapon. And Ravi basically turns around to Suki and Nish and is just like, you're as bad as each other, okay? All this is people getting hurt because of your war. Which, I don't know. What was your thoughts on that?
I thought it were a bit victim-blamey, to be honest, on Suki's part, that. I kind of see his point, but then I'm like, Ravi, do you not remember how you disowned your dad at Christmas when you saw him try to attack Suki? You saw exactly what his true colours were. Why are you now? But also at the same time, Suki knew that she were playing with fire by getting Vinny involved, and then did let it get this far.
Yeah.
But again, the principle of it is took everything from her, and she's just, you know, a woman who's come from a coercive, abusive relationship trying to get what's rightfully hers. But yeah, then she's put her son in the crossfire. If I'm honest with you though, that whole thing, Ravi, I thought, that's an interesting take. But then I'm like, is everyone forgetting that Suki got like dragged sent to prison?
This is the interesting thing, that Suki is never, like, she's no angel, is she? And she has on more than one occasion used her children as weapons. Use them also as shields from herself as well. Like, she's lost one kid because of that tactic. Ash has run away to get away from it all. And so, and Kirat's now in prison as well. So she's basically just been losing her kids to this thing that's been, I mean, and Jags and Ash were gone way before Nish even turned up on the scene. So it's interesting. I can kind of see Ravi's point of view. I just thought it was maybe a little bit odd coming from Ravi of all people.
Yeah, true. Yeah, because Ravi has seen Nisha's true colours as well. Yeah. But then in that moment, Ravi was hurt that Vinny had lied to him as well, I think. So, I don't... we're a bit... But on the whole, I thought they were all being quite harsh to Suki. Like I said, she was massively... She's been a victim of Nish for a lot longer than anyone else has.
It was an interesting point of view, but it does seem to land in Suki's head like, oh my God, you're right, yeah. So ultimately, these two end up talking properly for the first time, and it's sort of like, I was confused as to where is this going, like, what's the ultimate plan here? But Suki might be prepared to let bygones be bygones and say, do you know what, you're a dying man, let's just But let's just put this to bed, all right? Let's like I'm gonna go
For the
away and live
sake of
my
our
life.
kids,
Sake of our
yeah.
kids, I'm gonna go away and live my life. You go and like live your last days out doing whatever you want, and let's just put this to bed. But Nish is ultimately sort of like, no, it's gonna be my final wish to see you absolutely destroyed. Which then leads into Nish starting to have a heart attack, because Suki and him are just sort of
Instant
like
karma.
instant karma. Resulting in possibly Suki's campest moment for a long, 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 long time. It's been a while since we have seen the eyebrow at work, but it's back in
Yeah.
full force this week. I'm tempted to give my gold star to Suki's eyebrow this week because my God, does that eyebrow put in some work? Because Nish starts having this heart attack and appears to be all of a sudden on his dying day, and he's basically begging for Suki to call him an ambulance. And Suki just pours herself a brandy and realizes, no, actually, this works. I'll just sit
And
here
I
and
watch you die.
I'll just watch you die and just enjoy it. And I'll just smirk and sip my brandy and arch my eyebrow and give the best duff duff face there's ever been. And it's a fantastically camp moment. A lot of people online were comparing it to Kim Tate in Emmerdale, where she that classic kind of quite famous moment in Emmerdale where Kim Tate basically murdered her husband, and he was dying on the ground in front of her, and she basically just pulled out her pocket mirror and kind of casually held it under his nose to see whether he was breathing or not. Saw that he wasn't. Looked up at the mirror, did her makeup, and walked out of the room. So it was sort of giving those sorts of vibes where she was just really sort of enjoying the pain that he was suffering. But what did you think at that moment that was the end of Nish? Did you think that that's where it was
Yeah,
going to go?
I was thinking this is it, isn't it? This is his dad. But then I was like, midweek in September,
Yeah, on a
surely
Tuesday.
not.
People don't die in
Yeah,
EastEnders on a Tuesday. It's the
no,
one day of the week you're
exactly.
safe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. I was sort of like, if he does die here, it would kind of feel right because ultimately he's always said that his dying wish is for Suki to be by his side when he
Yeah,
dies.
yeah.
So that would have kind of poetic. And I always said that there was many ways where they could ironically make that happen, like many
Yeah.
sort of weird ways in which that could be subverted. So it would have worked in that regard, and Suki would have had that ultimate moment of satisfaction. And the ultimate moment of Suki from the Six doing her thing as well, where we always thought that Suki might be responsible for Nishi's death ultimately. That could still happen. But even Avani walking at the last moments, Avani, bless her, I mean, she's a young, naive kid, isn't she? So as far as she's concerned, her granddad's dying on the floor. So an ambulance is called, Nishi's rushed to hospital and is ultimately
I
saved.
did think it were harsh that even when like even Avani had turned up, they let Avani call the ambulance. Like maybe Eve should have done that or someone else. Like they're letting a 15-year-old call an ambulance for a granddad were a bit harsh.
Yeah, I
Like
think Suki was
once
just
you've
a bit.
seen other people are here, just call it yourself. Don't let the little kid do it.
Yeah, because I think Suki realizes that she's been caught out at that moment, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Because like Avani finds her phone in her handbag, so there was no way that she was ever gonna. She had no intention of calling an ambulance. So the ambulance arrives, and Suki and Eve sort of realize, yeah, we need to cut this. We need to cut this now. Like you need to sort Avani out immediately. So they rush to hospital. And basically, Nish is told at that moment, yeah, we've saved your life at this moment, but this has reduced your lifespan by quite a long time. And he's probably now just got weeks to live.
Go till Christmas.
But you reckon, is it Christmas? Do you reckon?
Yeah.
I mean,
Why not?
that's a good few months away. Yeah, the way the nurse was
Only a couple of
talking,
months.
the way the nurse was
September,
talking, I
October, November.
reckon he's got
Yeah.
about a month left.
True, but it's Nish, isn't it? Come on. I don't know, you might be right. You might be right.
I mean, the thing is, he's got to still have the power to do something, one last horrible thing, hasn't he? Like, there's got to be some massive climax to it at some point.
But he's
Because this
lasted
is.
this long. Why not kill him off at Christmas?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I think it would be a great time to kill him off. But I do sort of wonder, like, is he going to have that long left, really, in terms of. Because if you've got weeks left to live, you're going to very quickly sort of deteriorate from there, aren't you?
They didn't say weeks, though. They didn't actually say
Oh,
weeks, did they?
Nish
They
sort of
didn't
guessed weeks.
really
Yeah,
say.
that's
And then
true.
Avani said, "Will he be here for Christmas?" And the nurse said, "I'd just suggest you spend a lot as much time as you
Yeah.
can with your family."
Yeah.
So, could be, could not be. You never know,
Well,
dear.
Nish kind of figures, right, okay, well, these are my final days. I'm going to get my will sorted. So he calls his solicitor and then calls the family around once that's done. And it turns out that all of this has been for nothing because he leaves everything to Nugget and Havane. Yeah. Now, the weird thing is at this moment that Suki had the nerve to be angry about that. And do you know what I mean? I was sort of like, how could you possibly be surprised that he's done that, Suki? Like, did you really think that he was going to have a moment of like, oh, maybe Suki should get something? Like, why would he do that?
So, you know, when he gave it to Suki to read, did you not think that it were going to say Suki on it for
a second.
Oh, I did. I was like, he's softened. He's gone, what? Life's too short. She's brought my kids up. I'm going to give it all to Suki. No. And chapter closed. And that's why you were letting Suki read it. No, I was surprised.
I thought he was literally just giving it to Suki to read just to rub the salt in.
Well, yeah, it transpired. That's what it were, yeah.
Because it made no sense. Like, why would he ever give anything to Suki when he knows at that moment? Because he's a vengeful man. Like, it doesn't... True. He's a twisted, illogical, angry, jealous...
I got pulled in, all right. Yeah, no, you got pulled in, Suki. Yeah.
You're all sat there in the Vic defending Nish to everybody now, aren't you?
Is it in his last days?
He wouldn't do that.
It makes sense to give it to Havane and Nugget from Nish's perspective. Yeah. If I'm honest with you, why wouldn't you leave stuff to your grandkids, actually?
Priya's quite happy. But it's interesting, though, that it's not just Suki that gets nothing. This is Vinny, doesn't get anything. Ravi gets nothing. Hasn't he
already given Ravi?
He's given him the restaurant. But then that's true. And he's also got the restaurant. So I kind of think, maybe Ravi's fine. I mean, he probably would have liked something else, you know, but he gets absolutely nothing. So all of Nish's money and everything else that hadn't already been sort of sent off to somebody else goes to the grandkids. And Suki is just
of a reward for Havane, though, as well, because she did save him.
Loyalty. So yeah. I imagine there was a bit of that as well. Yeah. I imagine that there was a sort of like, because Nish has always rewarded loyalty as sort of in his own twisted way. So the final chapter of Nish will approach soon. So where do you think it's going? What do you think is going to happen? Or how do you reckon we're going to finally see the end of Nish?
Well, Suki's adamant she's still going to get older, everything. So this war's not over.
No, not by
she's
a long
shot.
She's
still adamant she's getting it all. But she has then gone to Nish and said, I think you need to spend time with your family. What is she doing now? Is she trying to pretend that she's softened and then she's somehow going to get everything? But how is she going to get it? She's already found out that this will is tight.
The only way that I can possibly see her managing to change his mind is if she decides to pretend that she loves him for a couple of weeks until he dies. It's the only way I think it... And I think that's the only thing that could possibly work with Nish, because I think he's... I don't think he's unintelligent enough to know what she's doing, but I think that he is... He is malleable enough for them to go, do you know what? I'm quite happy to pretend that you love me for a few weeks as well. Let's just do this play until I die. I don't know.
They did have that moment where he said, you did love me once though, didn't you? And
that's what I mean. Yeah. He's grasping at anything that makes him think that this fantasy he's got about him and Suki has ever been a reality. And to be honest with you, I don't even know if the Suki and Nish thing... Like, how quickly do you think it was before Suki kind of fell out of love with Nish? I imagine it didn't take that long.
No, that's what I thought. Or maybe it was like, because they got together when they were really young. So maybe it was once she'd kind of matured and could see the dynamic of the relationship for what it was. So maybe a few years. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think it would have taken that long at all. But ultimately, I mean, obviously the war isn't over by any stretch of the imagination, but it's... I don't know. I think it's all going to end in quite explosive fashion, whatever happens. And I feel like that whole wish of Nish having Suki by his side as he dies is going to play out in some way. But how that plays out. Ow. Yeah.
It would have been perfect this week.
It would have been.
All I know is everyone needs to stop going in Walford East kitchen when there's beef happening in Panasar family because everyone gets injured in there. Exactly.
Too many weapons.
You've got pots, pans, knives,
coffee filters, melon ballers.
They need to stop going in that kitchen until Nish is gone. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, 100%. Right then, gold star this week, Ray. Who are you giving it to?
I think Suki. I'm going to give it to this week, to be honest.
Fair enough. Suki and a fabulous eyebrow. I think I will give mine in that case to Vinny.
I thought you would. So I thought that's a
yeah, I thought Vinny had a great week. I thought I thought Shiv did it excellently this week as Vinny. It was probably one of his best weeks. So there we are then, Suki and Vinny for the Gold Stars this week. Let us know about your thoughts of this week's EastEnders in the comments section. Where do you think the Nish storyline is ultimately going to end? Stick it in the comments down below and tell us who your Gold Stars two are going to this week. Right, ladies and gents, final bit of news this week. The Clenshaw era will soon be at an end. So we knew this day would ultimately arrive. Chris Clenshaw will be stepping down as executive producer after the anniversary. So we've still got months of him to come, but he will be leaving after the 40th anniversary. After 3 years in the role, Chris Clenshaw has made the decision to step down as executive producer of EastEnders in February 2025, once the soap has celebrated its 40th anniversary. During his stint as EastEnders, Clenshaw has created many bold storylines and tackled big issues that will go down in EastEnders history, including the award-winning Loving and Losing Lola, as well as the six flash-forward whodunits and the return of Cindy Beale, while also producing unmissable episodes, including the Platinum Jubilee and the Mitchell flashback, Doc Cotton's funeral, and Jay and Honey running the London Marathon. He created The Knights, the first black and dual heritage family to run a pub on any UK soap, and headed up by Colin Salmon, and brought back fan favourites, including Adam Woodyatt, Michelle Collins, Jacqueline Joshua, Shane Ritchie, Angela Winter, and Patsy Palmer. Under Chris's leadership, EastEnders has won many awards, including Best Soap and Continuing Drama at this year's Royal Television Society Awards, as well as taking home 7 awards at this year's Radio Times Awards, and every public nominated award at last year's British Soap and National Television Awards. So safe to say, the Clenshaw era has gone quite well.
Yeah.
That leads the question of who will be taking over, and that has been revealed to be a guy called Ben Wadey. Wadey sounds like we've given him a nickname. He's already got that as his name.
Wadey.
He is going to be taking over after Chris leaves in February, and Ben Wadey has said, "I'm thrilled to be returning to EastEnders at such an exciting time for the show. Having grown up watching and loving EastEnders, it sparked my passion for television, and I feel like I've known the residents of Wharford my entire life." So Ben Wadey was a story producer, I think, around the time of the boat crash, and around the 35th anniversary, was quite instrumental in bringing the Panasars onto screen. So he's got EastEnders experience. So he previously comes from Channel 4 as a executive of some description around Hollyoaks and all that kind of thing. So he's got soapy experience. So. Yeah. And looking at his picture, I will be the first to say I saw him first. come on, honestly.
Fair enough.
So, what do we think? I mean, sad but expected. 3 years is about right for a producer, unfortunately. And what I would say is that actually these 3 years have flown by, haven't they? Like sometimes sometimes you get a producer where it's sort of like, I can't wait for this era to end. But actually, this is bed past, doesn't it?
I can't believe he did Doc Cotton's funeral. That's how long
he's
been. I didn't realise it had been that long.
Yeah.
I mean, what can you do? Always leave him wanting more.
Yes.
I mean, arguably give us more Clenners because
we've still got months to come. And what I would say is, not only have we got all of the drama to come up to with the anniversary, but because of the way soaps are made, the chances are we're not going to be seeing Ben Wadey's work on screen until at the very earliest next summer.
Yeah, true.
So
hopefully Clenners has left it in such a good way that this Ben Wadey can just carry it on and it'll keep being fantastic, and we've just got to have faith. That's what we keep saying, we've got to have faith.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, closer to the time, we will do, I think, a proper retrospective of the Chris Clenshaw era. I think that would be quite a nice thing to do. But what I would say for now is that I think it's fair to say that Chris Clenshaw has took the show out of the ashes that it was at one point. Because at one point, it was in a bit of a worrying state, the show.
It was.
And people are now talking about the show again. It's won multiple awards over the past 3 years. He's put it straight back where it should be, and he has been an absolute godsend to the show. I know it's not just him. You know, him and his team that he has kind of got around him have done fantastic things. So it's going to be a very sad day when Chris leaves the show, but it was always going to happen. And we wish him all the best for the future. I bet he's got a long and illustrious career in front of him, I would say. So best of luck for that. We did have a few comments about this news, didn't we, Ray?
Tracy Riccio says, I'm so sad Connors is leaving. He really turned EastEnders around. I mean,
Simon Paris had said, not ashamed, I shed a spontaneous tear when I read this news today. I've watched every episode of EastEnders and this has been such a thrilling period, not the least of which has been the exceptional use of history.
And Pat Hanavan says, Chris Crenshaw has been absolutely brilliant and has set the bar extremely high for his successor. We shall see.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be said that Ben Wadey has some very big shoes to fill. So let's go in there with an optimistic frame of mind. I think what this era has also done is made the BBC realise how good EastEnders is and how much it needs to be taken care of. So I think that they will be very sort of watching the progress of how it goes. So I think we're going to be fine. All right. It's going
to
be okay.
And they're not just, they're not just going to pass it over to somebody willy-nilly,
no,
are they?
They haven't given it to us.
All the work Connors has done.
Yeah, you know. So
it'd be great, Rob. I don't know what you're
about. Thanks. I'd love that job. I'd be good. I'd sit in my office chair, swiveling around.
Dream job.
I'll be marvellous. One day, one day maybe. Sad news, but exciting news for the future. A new era of the show is always exciting, if not slightly nerve-wracking. We will talk more about the new era as it comes closer, because also what always happens with a new producer is, you know, some people might be leaving, some people might be... some calls, some axings, as they're known. So, I know.
Yeah, okay. I'm not going to mention the two that we deeply regret from many years ago because I keep thinking about it too much.
Exactly, yes. So. Ronnie and Roxy.
Let's have none of that, though, please.
Ronnie and Roxy. Right then, ladies and gents, that's it for this week. I'll see you the same time next week when I will have had my driving test. So that's going to be a thing, isn't it? If you'd like to get in touch with us in any way you like, you can do the following.
You can find us on Facebook at Albert Square After Dark, on X and Instagram at E20 After Dark. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like and subscribe. You can listen to us on Apple and all your favourite podcast sites. Drop us an email at e20afterdarkpodcast@gmail.com. You can buy us a coffee on buymeacoffee.com/E20After Dark.
Yes, you can. Thank you very much for watching. Thank you very much for listening. And like I say, we should be back same time next week. Until then, it's goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
See you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.